as I mentioned, I was thinking last while, and, you know, there's a lot of times the problems in life, you can't just ignore them and they go away. I mean, they're in front of your face. I mean, when you're dealing with things, whether it be health or financials or relationships or emotions, whatever it is, you got to deal with them, right? There's been a lot of turmoil in my life over the last few months. I maybe my memory's short, but I don't ever remember a year where I felt this much pressure on the job in so many different ways. And not that it's been bad, I mean, but just the constant pressure. There's been a lot of difficulties to deal with. When my health, part of it's my fault for not doing some things I know I ought to do to maintain better health. Part of it is other reasons that just come along. Amen? But as you get older, you worry more about those things. You worry more about your job and finances because it becomes harder to replace. You know, I had no fear of anything in my 20s and 30s. I would jump into any venture. I bought $100,000+ farm once at an auction that we just went to buy a chest of drawers for the kids, and I had no money in my checking account. And I talked the auctioneer into holding my check till we could figure out what to do. But I mean, anymore, I'm afraid to go through McDonald's if I haven't calculated if I can afford $5 extra or not. Because you got 30 or 40 years to recover financially, it's a whole lot different if that gets chopped into 30 or 40 months rather than years. But I have worries about the future, my own future at times, but especially my family, my kids, my grandkids. And I say all that to say this: I know I'm not alone. I know enough about your lives. We haven't faced exactly the same things, but you face a lot of pressures, a lot of different competing pressures that to satisfy one, you can't satisfy the other pressure that you've got to try and juggle and balance, you know, between being a good parent, between being a good provider, between being a good employee. All those things seem to demand all of you at the same time, and you ain't got all of you to give to everything. We're facing many things. As I said, I know enough about you individually to know a lot of you are facing adversities in many areas. What's going on in our country, in our society, affects us all. Just like you, I keep hoping for better days. But here's my caution this morning. We need to be careful that we not leave God out of that picture. Everything I said is true. All those pressures, everything is true. But leaving God out of the picture doesn't give you a correct picture in life. Amen? You can see all your struggles, you can see all the worries, all the problems, everything you're facing. But if you've left God out of that, you don't have a correct picture. Amen? I know I've reminded us several times, this is still God's world. He created it. He knew everything that was going to happen. He'll be the one that calls it into it on His terms. God has a plan. He's still working that plan, and He will accomplish everything that He intended to accomplish when He created this world before the world ends. Amen? Nothing that has happened, is happening, or will happen has taken God by surprise or left Him unprepared. Now, knowing that God's in control ought to strengthen our faith and hope. Amen? Knowing God's in control ought to strengthen our faith and hope in Him. But we need to be careful we not fall prey to fatalism, which is the thought of whatever's going to happen is going to happen anyhow. Because God responds both individually and collectively to how we respond to Him. God said, if you do certain things, I'll do these things. If you do evil, I'll bring judgment, right? If you do good, I'll bring blessing. God responds to us individually and collectively according to how we respond. So knowing God's in control, knowing God ultimately is going to carry out His plan, doesn't relieve us of responsibility. Amen? We are responsible for what we do because it will affect how God deals with us. Amen? One of our greatest needs, both individually and collectively, In fact, I believe the greatest need is a real return to God. People have left off the real devotion, the real allegiance to God individually. Our churches have, and it's affected us collectively as a society. Listen to me. I know a lot of people, maybe not you, but I knew a lot of people that were heavily vested politically. And there's nothing wrong with that, because I believe those in leadership have a great effect on our lives. But I'm also going to tell you, apart from God, there is no political solution to what we face. There's no economic solution. There's no political solution. There's no societal solution apart from God. There isn't. Now, you're going to see people put a lot of effort, a lot of ways. We're going to be whipsawed from one end of the extreme to the other, and they're still going to find the same results that are unsatisfactory. Now, I do have an opinion economically. I do have a degree in economics. I do have an opinion. But I'm going to tell you, there's no real answer apart from God. Our problem spiritually, and especially for those of us that know God, our focus has to be on the spiritual aspect of what will bring us the help that we need. That doesn't mean quit your job. It doesn't mean don't be involved in politics. But it means get firmly implanted in your head what's going to change the future is what happens spiritually. And therefore, those who don't know the Lord have no inclination, without someone who does, bringing them the knowledge of God, have no inclination to turn to God. Now, they may begin to get desperate and cry for help, but unless somebody has the answer, it's all in vain. Amen? So who's responsible for letting people know what the answer is? Well, it should be those who know the Lord, right? And if we're so focused on everything the rest of the world's focused on, we're not going to be much help. Now, I didn't say quit your job. I didn't say don't have career aspirations. Do all those things. But also, keep to the forefront of your mind the spiritual aspect of the help we need. That's a long introduction. Too long. Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to the law. Incline your ears to the word of my mouth. I'll open my mouth in a parable. I'll utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We'll not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, His strength, and His wonderful works that He's done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children, that the generation to come might know them. Even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their hearts aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The first five verses again says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I open my mouth in parable. I utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, our fathers have told us. We'll not hide them from our children, showing the generation to come the praises of the Lord, His strength, His wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. To a very large part, our society has lost its knowledge of God. I mean, I see that. It's obvious to me. Our society has lost its knowledge of God. Historically, our nation had a collective knowledge of God. And by that I mean our citizenry, our society, had an underlying knowledge of God. They understood the basic precepts of God, of creation, of this being God's world. They understood the basic precepts of salvation. They understood His law was the foundation of right and wrong. Amen. Our society was built, our nation was built on that, and that pervaded our society for many years. Now, through a few generations and neglect by the church and misinformation by the media and our education system, we no longer have that collective knowledge. It just isn't there, folks. I'm on team meetings all the time in my work. I hear people talking in different news shows. I see different things. There's not a collective knowledge of God that used to exist among us. That's why it was easier to move people in a revival, because they already had collective knowledge. But we've lost that in a few, I don't know how many, but it's been a few generations coming. A couple of generations ago, the power of God to transform lives was seen in a much greater way in the church. Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about here. People were dramatically saved and changed. Christians were filled with zeal and excitement about the work God was doing in them. Amen? Christians were committed to God and His work in a way that honestly seems unimaginable today. People who work factory jobs who only had a week's vacation out of the year used that to go to camp meeting or revival. I mean, they didn't go sightseeing. They longed for the things of God. Their heart was in the things of God. Amen? If the doors was open for anything, they were there. Whether it was a workday service, it didn't matter. They were there. It was priority. Our passage tells us to tell what we have seen and known. It says, I'll open my mouth in a parable, utter dark sayings of old, which we've heard and known, our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, showing the generation to come the praise of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He's done. We have a generation, actually at least a couple of generations, that have not seen or known for themselves. Amen? And that may include you. If you're under 50, it probably does include you. And not really seen and known the real power of God and what He can do in a great way. Recount in your own mind, those of you who have seen and known. Recount in your own mind what God's done. In your own life. What you have seen in the lives of others. Amen? And for all of us, know the story of salvation. Amen? Your story, but the story of God's salvation. Tell of stories of successes in the kingdom of God. Stir up your memory. I can remember times when 20, 30 people, a service, were genuinely getting saved and experiencing a real, not just coming down and leaving the way they come, but a real dramatic change, where people who come in from outside were so moved by the Spirit of God, they had to grip the back of the seat even if they didn't move. My grandfather was an alcoholic. He was not a churchgoer. He drank himself to death at the age of 53 years old. He ran with bootleggers and others, moonshiners in Kentucky. And Dad, when he started preaching when he was young, some of them came to see, just to see the show. And Papa and a couple of his friends, one of them had known to have murdered two people. Got off with some kind of manslaughter, but they were there. And the power of the Holy Ghost was such in the service, and they cried and held the back of the pew during the invitation. Because the Spirit of God moved on them. Tell about it. Those of you who have seen the power of God in times past, tell about it. If you don't know it, read about it. What happened in days of revivals. The generation that really saw God work is about to step into heaven. And I want to challenge our older saints, don't leave without your story being known. Don't leave without recounting the working of God that you've witnessed. We need that. Some of my greatest hope comes from hearing and reading God's working in the past. Tell it. Write it down. Record it. Amen? We're in some dark days. We need some encouragement for what God's able to do, what you've already seen Him do. Amen? Tell it to your kids and grandkids. Truth can be lost in one generation. And I fear the knowledge of God is fading fast amongst us, even in the church. The fourth verse says, we'll not hide them from our children, showing the generation to come the praises of the Lord, His strength, His wonderful works that He's done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. Not only do we need to make known God's work, but we need to make known His law. God's commandments, His principles and precepts show us what is right and what is wrong and how we ought to live our lives and conduct ourselves. Amen? That our nation desperately, our society, your kids desperately need to know what's right and wrong. Amen? Deuteronomy 6:4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest in the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and you'll bind them on them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and you shall write them on the post of thy house and on thy gates. Saturate your life with God's Word. Amen? Saturate your life with God's Word. Fill your mind with His commandments and His law. Let it develop your conscience. Let it develop your discernment. Let it become part of you. Amen? Talk about it. Let Him so permeate your life that's so naturally what you talk about. You see, He said, teach Him to your kids. Said, when you lie down, when you walk on the way, when you're, whatever you're doing, whether you're sitting around, whatever you're doing, look for ways to impart the knowledge of God to those around you, particularly those over whom you have the most influence, beginning with your kids and grandkids, but branching out to others that you have influence with. How else are your kids and grandkids going to know? Especially if they go to public school, they're going to get inundated with falsehoods for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a day. The media is going to fill their minds with falsehoods, however long you have it on. And if you think coming in here for an hour on Sunday morning is going to offset all that, you've got another thing coming. You're going to find that ain't the way it works. Amen? Fill your home, saturate your home, saturate your life with the knowledge of God. How else is our society ever going to regain the knowledge of God they lost without somebody who knows it talking about it? Amen? You're looking for God to raise up some preacher someplace that's going to take the place by storm? Really? Is that how He's worked in the past? No. Truth is passed from generation to generation. That's how it's preserved. Amen? Be fully persuaded in your own mind. Amen? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and with all thy might. And these words I command thee this day shall be in your heart, and then thou shalt teach them diligently. Be fully persuaded. Get it in your heart. Keep your love for God on fire. Amen? Tell others what you know about God and His way. It's really our only hope. Remember Paul in Acts when he came upon the men of Athens where they had all the different religions. They didn't want to leave nobody out. And they had a idol, something at least, an altar, to the unknown God. And Paul took advantage of it to say, hey, I'm going to tell you about this unknown God, who He really is. Amen? Paul gave the Christian perspective there. He started with creation and worked his way up through salvation. Give the Christian perspective on life when you're given the opportunity. Don't go silent in this dark world. A lot of pressure just to shut up and put up, ain't it? And I don't mean go looking for a fight, but realize that you possess the knowledge that is their only hope. Without the knowledge of God that you have, they have no hope. I hear people spewing out ignorance, darkness, so much of the time. The knowledge we have of God's the only hope they have. They're going to eternity just like you and me. There's only one God. They're going to be judged. Amen? Don't go silent concerning right and wrong. Evil and sin still bring God's anger and God's judgment. Amen? It's this acceptance and indulgence in evil and sin that's brought us where we're at today as a country, as a society. Now, I firmly believe we have a hope for the future. It is absolutely my conviction that this is not how it ends. It is absolutely my conviction that the salvation that Jesus Christ brought will triumph in this world. Does that mean everybody or even a majority of people will be saved? No. But I do believe all the parables and all the teachings concerning His kingdom show a growth unto the end. And that's my firm belief. I know most of Christendom has sold that for a false teaching that somehow God needs to send Jesus with a sword to get it done. That's foolish. If He wanted to come with a sword, He'd come with a sword the first time. It's the power of salvation in love that changes people. Amen?
Yes.
What God's done in the past is what we need Him to do today. Amen? He's already done in other times what we need Him to do today. There have been darker days in the past. This ain't the darkest day. This is not the darkest day our world's seen. This is not even the darkest day our world has seen since the Great Awakening. Amen? This is not the darkest days that our world's seen since the time of the Reformation. It's not. It's the darkest days in our life. Yes. But it's not the darkest days we've seen. Amen? The influence of the gospel of Jesus Christ has already had dramatic effect on our world. God in His salvation was sufficient for dark days of the past, and it's still sufficient for our day.
That's right.
And that's why we need to tell it and let it be known. This personal knowledge of God and His workings needs to be made known. It's more effective when a witness can say, I seen it, I know, I was there. Amen? That's more effective. But the truth about God in this world needs to be made known from what God's already revealed to us and what we know of history, what we know of the past. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare unto their children. That they might set their hope in God, not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. This is our hope for the future. Amen? I believe we need to feel the burden of faithfully passing this knowledge of God from generation to generation. This is how truth is preserved. Not every generation is good, not every generation is bad, and regardless of the time zone, truth needs to be preserved and passed on. That task is vitally important in dark times. Isaiah 1 and 9 says, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and we should have been like Gomorrah. You ain't saying? When God brought judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, He wiped them all out, right? Everything perished in that judgment. But it was different when God brought judgment on Israel. He left a small remnant. That means there was a small... You know what a remnant is? Well, maybe we don't, because used to people are more familiar with making clothes and cloth. When you have a bowl of cloth and you've used most of it, but there's a little bit left, that's a remnant. And what He's saying is, God destroyed in judgment of Israel, but He left a little bit, and that little bit was hope. I'm convinced we have a remnant yet today. That remnant is faithful people who know God, and that remnant is the seed for future harvest. Amen? God's working even when we don't see it. Remember Elijah? Elijah stood on Mount Carmel. He was the only one saying, God is God, right? And after a long day of it, God showed He was God. But when they ran down the mountain ahead of the rain, Jezebel said, you're going to be dead. And Elijah ran in fear. And Elijah was convinced he was the only faithful person left. What did God tell him? 1 Kings 19:14 said, Elijah said, I've been very jealous for the Lord of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altar, slain thy prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go, return thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, thou shalt appoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abimelech, shalt thou appoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escaped the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. Elijah was laying under a bush praying to die. And God said, get up. I still got a plan. And he told him, go anoint this one king of Israel, this one in Syria, and this one to take your place as a prophet. He said, I still got 7,000 people that ain't bowed knee. Amen? Yeah. I am firmly convinced that we have more than a remnant of one or two in our nation today. I firmly believe that there's still thousands of true believers in our nation today. Firmly convinced of that.
Yes.
Where are they at? I don't know. But this I do know, that God's still able to work and move.
Amen.
I know the future looks dark right now. And on the short term, you may be right. It may get a lot worse before it gets better. Judgment must set until people are awakened. But I still do believe better days are ahead. And I know that they can be if we respond the way we ought to. He told us to tell that the generation to come might know, even the children which should be born, which should arise and declare unto their children, that they may set their hope in God, not forgetting the works of God, but keeping His commandments. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn, rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. You know what? I have a better hope for the generation to come. My hope is they can see God move in a better way, in a greater way. And they can, amen, if they follow God. Let's give them the knowledge of God that they need. Let's let them know our experiences, what we've seen, what we've felt, what we've known. Amen. Let's let them know the truth from God's Word. This is a time to rise to the challenge, not to fade in discouragement and fear.
Right.
See, most Christians hunkering down, waiting, putting something over their head and just waiting. This ain't a time to hunker down in fear and discouragement. This is a time to rise to the occasion for all of us. I'm challenging our older saints, and I will continue to write down or record what they've known and experienced. Amen? So your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren can know what you have seen God do. What's possible. Things they may not have seen in their lifetime. Amen? I'm going to challenge our young parents this morning. And I will continue because I'm going to hammer, folks. I'm not pleased. I want to challenge our young parents to find their place in the church to help and teach and train their kids. It's going to take effort on your part. You'll need to do a better job than some have done in the past couple of generations if we want to see better results. Amen?
Yes.
And it'll take some effort. It'll take some prioritizing. Amen? I can't lead a group of young marrieds. Need somebody pray, be filled with the Holy Spirit, who can help young marrieds come together to strengthen one another and encourage one another in the raising of their kids. Our young parents, those of you with kids in the home, better be dead serious about your walk with God and your knowledge of God if you expect good things for your kids and grandkids. You don't have to say amen to that, but I tell you what, I am firmly convinced that's the truth. Let's hope and pray for awakening to our needs, and especially our need of God, in our families, in our church, in our communities, and in our nation. But it begins with us. Amen? Whether you old or young, you got responsibilities. If your kids are about grown, tell you what, some of the most fearful times in life is high school and shortly thereafter, because you're making the decision that's going to set sail for the rest of your life. The big three. Who am I going to marry? What am I going to do for a living? Where am I going to live? Those three big questions is going to dictate so much of your life that if you don't get God's will, it's going to be a struggle. I'm not saying you can't, but I'm saying it makes it more difficult. Parents, pray for your kids as they mature. Amen. Help them make... I see some parents that have as much difficulty talking to their kids about God as they would about sex. Well, talking about God should not be an uncomfortable conversation. Ever. My adult kids, my little from little on up, this is what life's about. We're going to talk about it. Amen. Make it natural. If that's what your head's full of, that's what's going to come out of your mouth, right? You let somebody talk for 10 minutes, you know what's on their heart. If you make them comfortable and they just let them talk, what's really close to their heart is what they're going to go to. Amen? That's one of the things we learn in sales. Let them talk, because then you'll figure out where they're really at. Amen? And you can work with that. But you let people talk. As soon as you can get them comfortable and their guard down, they'll talk about what, hey, you know what? That ought to be you. When the conversation gets comfortable, when it gets going, as opportunity presents itself, you ought to be talking about God. When you have a problem in your home, when you have a problem with finances, when you have a problem with health, in front of your kids, yeah, you're probably going to express it, but don't leave it there. Talk about God, how He's going to help, how He has helped in the past, how He will help. And when He does help, let it be known, God help. You know, look what He took care of. I was reminded some of our family this last year, this is a difficult year, been a lot of pressures. But most of us are coming out of this year better than we went into it. Maybe not with stress levels, but on most objective measurements, ending the year better than we started. You know what that tells me? It tells me God's able. It don't matter. Well, it does matter. Yeah, it always matters what's going on outside of us. I know that. But it doesn't keep God from being able to be faithful what's going on around us. It's going to hold of our faith. We're in a time where most Christians have not, they couldn't truthfully say, I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. He's first above everything. It'd be hard to see from what people do and what they choose. It'd be hard to come to that conclusion. But that's a requirement. That's not super saints. That is a requirement. Let's live it. Let's talk it. Let's get our eyes up. We may have, read about heroes in the past. Read missionaries. Read about other revivalists. Read about people who really changed the world. Most of them had a mountain of difficulty they had to deal with. It wasn't just handed on a silver platter. They had a lot of things they had to work through. Let's not be afraid to put our shoulder to the wheel. Amen? Isn't the time to hunker down in despair and discouragement? The time to rise to the occasion and say, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, work through me. Amen? I hope you're challenged. I tell you what, we either get a hold of this thing or we're going to become part of the casualties of the war. Our children especially and grandchildren will, unless we get a hold of this. And my prayer is that God stir you and stir me, that we would be what God would have us to be in every way. Amen. As you stand, let's close in a verse of song. Dearly Father, we